And welcome if you've had a lovely, restful lie-in on camp. Or welcome if you didn't have a nice, lovely, restful lie-in on camp. It's good to see you, campers. I've got two announcements. The first is we've got our regular communion service at 3 o'clock this afternoon for baptised Christians. And the second thing is that the special prayer meeting for camp on Tuesday is going to be at 7:30, and it's going to be at John and Esther's house. So it'll be in their front room. So if you're able, please do be there. One of the great things we have as Christians is that we have a good long history. And hundreds of years ago, the psalmist wrote this to encourage us to come and focus on God. So I'm going to read a little bit from Psalm 95. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hands. So it's great for us to be able to come to the God who made everything, the God who knows us. And we're just going to be singing about how this God can be relied on, how he's always faithful to us. So when the music starts, let's stand and sing, Great is thy faithfulness.
Now change your soul.
Let's pray. Oh Lord our God, we thank you that we come to the one who never changes. We thank you that you're not like the sun who sometimes goes behind the clouds. You are always there, always reliable, always blessing us. And Lord, we thank you that you never give up on any of your children, that your love is so strong, that you love each one of your children just as much as when you sent Jesus from heaven to die for them. And we thank you that you give so many things, so many good things to so many people. And like we've just been singing, oh Lord, we thank you that we can know that our sins have been forgiven, that we're pardoned, that we're free because of Jesus. We thank you that we know that we have a peace that lasts forever because we're secure in you. And we thank you that we know that whatever happens tomorrow, however tough it might be, however much fun it might be, we've got something better to look forward to if we're your children. We've got that glorious hope that one day we'll be with you forever, in a place where there'll be no wrong, no injustice, no tears, no crying. And everything will be perfect. Our Father, we pray that in all of our hearts we'll have a grateful attitude to you for what you've done. And we pray too that you'll give us a greater hunger to know you more and to be ready with you forever. Amen. So we're going to sing again. And we're going to sing about the gift of God's goodness to us, his grace, something that we didn't deserve, something that we couldn't hope to earn, but he's given us freely in Jesus. So when the music starts, let's stand and sing.
Righteousness and freedom, my sin, God's love, my need. Today's reading is in Matthew 11, verses 20 to 30, which is page 816 in the Church Bibles. Then he began to denounce the cities where most of his mighty works had been done, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works had done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you that it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you. At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Let's pray again. Lord our God, we ask that you'll help us to come to you again and to think about what we've just heard from your word. Oh Lord, when we compare ourselves with the people who saw your miracles, we know even more. We've heard even more about you. We know how you died and you rose again. Oh God, we're so sorry that we don't treat you with the love and respect that you deserve. Oh Lord, we are sorry that what we know about you in our heads so often doesn't come down into our hearts. And we pray that today you will wake us up. We pray that you will help us to see you afresh. Oh, we ask, Lord, that you'll forgive us. Oh, Lord, you taught us to pray asking for forgiveness. And when we think that you know all about us, everything we've thought and said and done, as well as the things that we've decided not to do that we should have done. Oh Lord, we know that there's lots that needs forgiving. We haven't loved you like we should have done, and we haven't loved other people like we love ourselves. So we ask that you'll forgive us, and we remember that when you told us to forgive, that was because you had forgiven us. And Lord, we pray that in our hearts you will help us to be people who forgive as well as people who are forgiven. Oh Lord, we know that we can't do anything good in ourselves. We're not born good. And even when we try our best, there's so much mucked up in them, so much pride, so much failure. So we pray that you'll send your Holy Spirit into our lives so that we know more of you, so that we're closer to our Heavenly Father, so that we're knowing that life that you promised, life to the full. And Lord, we pray that you will help us to rely on you. Oh Lord, we pray that you will help those who are facing things they dread this week to cast their cares on you. We pray that you'll help all of us in our problems, large and small, to bring them to you, knowing that you are able to deal with them. And Father, we thank you that you're in charge of good things as well. We thank you for camp, and we thank you for the young people who are here. Our Father, we pray that they will have a great time. We pray you'll send them suitable weather. We pray they'll get on. We pray that you'll keep them safe and well. But most of all, we pray that you'll speak to them. We pray that they'll know the greatest thing of hearing your voice and knowing you. And we don't just pray that for the campers, we pray that for ourselves. Oh Lord, we pray that you will be with Andrew as he comes to speak to us from your word. We pray that you will take those words and that those words will be powerful and effective in our lives. And we pray that you will use each one of your children to be your ambassador, your messenger. Oh Lord, we pray that you'll be with the planning for the lighthouse work. We pray that you will be overruling everything in that, that that will be, the weather will be suitable, that people will come, and most of all, that they'll hear your voice. Oh Lord, we have so many needs. We have so many blessings. And we pray that you will help us to be people who bring everything to you, our joys, our sorrows. Oh Father, we pray that we'll be in the habit of praying for ourselves on our own and knowing that you are a God who hears and answers our prayer. So Lord, we do pray that you will bless us and help us through the rest of today. Amen. So Andrew, welcome. We're looking forward to having you preach God's word to us after our very next song. So when the music starts, we're going to sing a prayer this time, asking God to speak to us. And that is really important. We're not just listening to a man chatting. We're chatting, I've got somebody bringing what God said, what can be relied on. So when the music starts, let's stand and sing.
Well, it's great to be here. Who here remembers 1985? Who remembers 1985? Well, in 1985, I was here as a camper. Yeah, that long ago. I was a Cheering Words camper. Is it still Cheering Words? That's what it was called back then. Yeah, I came for many years as a camper here. I've got some free books to give away. You know, in the book of James, we're told to tame the tongue. Yeah, well, I think if James was writing today, he'd also tell us to tame our fingers. What we type in our tweets and whatever. So this is a helpful little book, Heavenly Wisdom for Social Media. Little bit of help for you younger folks who tweet or whatever else you do. Other old folks as well, we perhaps do it as well. So there's a pile of those there. Do pick one up on the way out if you want to take that and read that. We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 11, those closing verses of the chapter. Let me pray and then I will begin. Father, we thank you for your word, but we know that we need you to unlock it and help us understand it. So please speak to us. Speak to us. We want to hear from you this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I expect most folks here have got a smartphone. Yeah? Who's got the smartphones? But yeah, hands up. Most folks, some of the campers, yeah, smartphones, they're ubiquitous, aren't they? Everyone's got a smartphone these days. I wonder how many of you, as well as having a smartphone, also use Bluetooth. You know what I mean by Bluetooth? Yeah? So I've got a phone which connects to my watch, and I've got a phone that connects to my earbuds. So magically, it all works. So now, Bluetooth was named after a 10th century Danish king. Did you know that? And he did something special. He unified two countries. He brought Denmark and Norway together. And that's why it's used for our technology, to unify different devices. So it's wonderful, isn't it? You can be walking down the road. I'm walking down the road listening to music coming from my phone wirelessly into my earbuds. Amazing. Pairing devices. So I pair my earbuds, I pair my phone together. And what I find often, if I go into a public space, like I'm on a train or maybe in a hotel lobby, and I go to pair my device, all these other devices are there for me to pair with. Which one should I pick? Which one's mine? What's the code for my device? I don't know if you've had that experience. You don't want to get listening to somebody else's music or printing your work to somebody else's printer. We have to be careful who we pair our phone with, what we pair it with. Well, my question is not so much about your phone, but yourself. So I want you to think, who am I paired with? Okay? Just like your phone can be paired to your earbuds or something like that, you can be paired, connected with somebody else. Who is that? Maybe it's a number of people, just like your phone can be devised, connected to other things. Who do you look for inspiration? Who do you receive instructions from? Which voice do you listen to? Where do you go for when you want comfort, reassurance, and help? Well, I want all of us to see today that the dominant pairing, the default pairing, the pairing we need most of all, is with the God who has made us supremely in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read again those closing words from Matthew 11. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And if Jesus was speaking that today, he may have used the illustration, pair yourself with me. The readers back then, the hearers back then would have understood the idea of a yoke. It was a wooden device that went over two cattle. So the two cattle stayed together because of the yoke. But that's foreign to us. Who's got a pair of oxen here? No one has. But we've all got Bluetooth. So we can understand the idea of being paired together, connected, the signal being transferred. And that's what Jesus is saying to us. Be paired with me. Make your connection with me and you will be blessed. And it's for anyone. Come to me all, whatever your age, whatever your stage. So I want us to ask four questions and then answer them from these verses. The first question is this: what does Jesus offer? What is the offer for you today? Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. Rest for your soul. Now, everyone here I can see has a body. That's pretty obvious. We've all got a body, yes? Flesh, bones, and blood and the rest. But we also have, the Bible says, a soul. You are a body and a soul. Our bodies are visible and tangible, material, but our souls are invisible and non-material. Now, some people would say, the soul is the real you. Now, that's not true, okay? It's not the real you, as if your body isn't the real you. It clearly is, and you'll have a resurrected body in Christ one day. So it's not the real you, rather it's the inner you. Think of it like that. There's an outer you that you can see, and there's an inner you. And Jesus is offering rest, peace, satisfaction, comfort, shalom, contentment for inner you. That's the offer today. Not a cure for arthritis, but satisfaction in your soul. And it's a satisfaction that you can have regardless of your circumstances. You don't need to be lying down in a summer field for to have the inner peace. You can have it in all the rough and tumble and troubles of life. And that's great, isn't it? Because it's possible to have the most perfectly shaped body, so I'm told, and the most healthy body, but still be restless, still be troubled. It's possible to have stacks of money in the bank, millions of likes on your Instagram, but still be turning, churning in your mind. It's possible to go away for a nice holiday and to be just relaxing in the canals of Amsterdam, like my wife and I were last week, and then get the WhatsApp, ding, someone desperately needs your help. It's possible to be a very happy-go-lucky camper, smiling and enjoying life, but still to carry burdens, perhaps that you don't tell even those in your tent. Jesus is offering everyone here rest, peace within your soul amidst the struggles of life. That's the offer, okay? That's what's being offered. Secondly, what then are the troubles and burdens that Jesus can lift? What are the troubles that he can help with? Now, Jesus doesn't specify the type of burden, presumably because it's any burden. Yeah, it's any burden that anyone has. Anything that robs you of rest and peace, Jesus can help you with. But let me just unpack it just so that we can think and get our heads around this. I think we could probably say there are three categories of burden, of trouble that Jesus helps with. The first of the ones that just come with living in this world. Okay? Living in this world with its fallenness, its brokenness. And there are troubles that come from that, aren't there? There are just the frustrations of life in a fallen world. I wonder if you know anything about that. When you're trying to get things done and everything seems to work against you. you get stuck. You pass from pillar to post. No one seems to know or care about your need. You get stuck on helplines. Letters get lost. You face frustration, scams and the like. And then there's the whole matter of health and illness. The burdens that can come just from being in a body. And now, when I was 40 years ago, I would have thought, wow. 40 years later, I know a little bit about that. And I've pastored people with chronic health issues, and they are great burdens to carry day after day. Of course, there's also the burden, the sadness, the pain of bereavement. That's just life in our world. No individual person's fault in that sense. I wonder whether you face those kind of troubles. They're in your mind. They lay heavy on you. Another kind of burden comes from the actions that people put towards us that are wrong. The wrongful way that we are treated. Maybe the expectations people place on us that burden us down. Maybe you know what it is to be bullied. I was bullied as a child. I know what that's like. Maybe you're bullied now as an adult by people who just push themselves on you. And the burden of coping with that abuse, that hurtful behaviour. Maybe it's stopped, but the memory remains. Perhaps more so today is this curse almost of expectations from social media and the burden of expectation. Maybe some of you younger folk know that. People that are curating an image of themselves, finding the right filter for all of their posts, trying to make keep up their profile or their image with others. Perhaps it's just the pressure of exams or getting into the right college or trying to be promoted. Peer pressure, parent pressure can be exhausting. It can just cripple you. I guess some of them here, you hear, are waiting for exams now. What's it going to be? What's the expectation? All these things can come, and perhaps more so if you're not the brightest and the most outgoing in your group. Well, these are the kind of burdens that Jesus understands. Burdens from living in a fallen world. Burdens from just the expectations, the wrong actions of others on yourself. Perhaps even just coming to church is a burden. Rather dread the end when people ask you, how was your week? Someone comes and wants to chat and you feel so overwhelmed. But then there's a third kind of burden. And that is the burden of being aware of your own actions towards others. It's one thing to feel the burden of others and the way they mistreat you, but are you aware of yourself? The Bible calls it sin. All of us have treated others and treated God in a way that is profoundly wrong. Jesus even says that we are born slaves to sin. We can't even free ourselves from it. Everyone here was born in that state. And the burden of realizing that one day it will catch up. There's a God who will one day call us to account. Now, of course, you can deny that. You can try and push it away. But that doesn't remove it, does it? It's like someone finds out, reads the letter about a cancer that they've got, and they put it in the shell. Put it in the shell. Put it away. Doesn't remove the reality. So these are the kind of burdens that we all face. I wonder what you do with those burdens. Where do you take them? What does Jesus offer? He offers rest in our souls for what kind of burdens? The burdens that I've described in everyday life. Is that your world? It's my world. It's everyone's world, really, isn't it? It's the world we live in. A world with sadness, mistreatment, and wrongdoing. Thirdly, what must we do to receive the offer that Jesus makes? What must we do to receive the offer that Jesus makes? Jesus says, come to me. Now that sounds so simple, perhaps it sounds too simple. You might be thinking, well, how do I come to Jesus? I mean, metaphysically, how do I do that? He left planet Earth 2,000 years ago. What do you mean, come to Jesus? Well, elsewhere in the Bible, the answer is explained by two main things. We come by speaking to him, and we come by listening to him. That's what it is to come to Jesus. We speak to him. It's called prayer. We call out to him about our troubles. He already knows, but he loves to hear us speak to him. We speak and tell him all that's going on in our mind, all the things we're burdened by. We cry out and ask, help me, heal me, change me. Do you do that? Have you ever done that? This is the invitation to you this morning. Come and do that. You don't need to make a big song and dance about it. You can do it quietly. You can walk out at the end. But you can just call out to the God who hears everyone's cry. But we need to be careful not to stop there. And that's perhaps where we're in danger of, I've got it. I cry out to God and it's solved. But we can't use him like a therapist. You know, I don't know if anyone's got the picture in their mind of some therapist sitting in a chair and you just keep telling them, you feel better. You've just unburdened and they've sat there and they've nodded and and you feel, well, that's great. But Jesus has something to say in return. It's not merely that we speak. We do speak, and it does lift the burden to speak, to cry out. What a friend we have in Jesus, we sing. But as well as speaking, we need to listen to his voice as well. And that's harder because there are many more distractions coming towards us. So back to my Bluetooth analogy. We cry out for help and we get all sorts of offers. Connect with me. Connect with me. I'll help. Who will win in the end? Will it be another hour of TikTok videos just to calm me down? Will it be someone on the TV making me laugh? Will it be something else? Perhaps good. Yeah, CBT, other things can help. Medication, but they won't get deep enough. They won't last long enough. And they won't deal with the third category, which is sin against God. Jesus says you must pair yourself with me. You must connect yourself with me. You must take instructions from me. Obey me. And that's the way to find rest for your soul. I find that very hard. I'm quite easy with the crying out to God piece. But the submitting myself, the listening carefully to all that God has said, and heeding his commands when they're not quite the ones I want, I find that a lot harder. Perhaps you do too. But if I would have peace in my soul, I must both speak and listen to the Lord. So Jesus is offering us a deep inner peace amidst the struggles of life, all sorts of struggles. And he says, just come to me, pour out your heart, and then connect, pair, receive my commands, obey my voice, and you will find rest for your soul. So if you really want to live, if you really want to flourish, if you really want deep rest in your souls, that's what you must do. And Jesus is inviting you again to come. Take my yoke upon you. Be paired first and foremost with me. Let me teach and guide you, and you will be blessed. Confess your sins Stop making excuses. Turn away from wrong actions. Drastic action if needed. Go public and tell others that you're paired with Jesus. Don't be shy. Go public. You know, that's called being baptized. Declare that you follow Jesus. Put your colours to the mast. Join a church. Find other who are paired with Jesus to help you on your journey. If you live around here, join this church if you're not already a member. And then get stuck into life, serving, growing, listening and learning. You can trust him with your circumstances. Jesus doesn't say that he'll remove the troubles, but he'll give you an inner peace amidst them. And he'll give you a joy, as we were thinking, of the day that will come when all the troubles will be gone. That's the offer. That's the only offer I've got for you. It's the offer from Jesus himself to us all. Come, receive it. Come and find peace in your soul. Medicine won't deliver. Only Jesus can. And he calls and invites you to come. Fourthly and lastly then, are there any assurances? Because I'm interested, but it's all rather new to me, and I'm a bit cautious. Maybe I've once bitten, twice shy. I'm not sure. Heard bad things about Christianity. I've been battered around a bit. I'm not sure whether I can really take the jump. What comfort, what assurances does Jesus give you and me to come to him today? Well, here are four. Firstly, Jesus has all authority. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. When you come to Jesus, you are coming to the one who has been given everything by his Father. The one who is able to reveal the Father to you. When he makes the invitation, he has the authority to do it. He has the power to deliver. He has the authority that has been proved by rising from the dead, confirming that sins are forgiven and death is defeated. You're coming to someone who has power and authority and the power and the permission to remove your burdens of sin and to remake you into a new person in his likeness. So when you come to Jesus, you're coming to someone with all authority. But secondly, Jesus welcomes ordinary folk. Did you see that in the reading? At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven, that you've hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children." And that's metaphorical. That's not just those who are young in age. It's those who are just everyday folk. "Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will." You know, there's a stereotype. You probably heard it. Maybe you still kind of half believe it, that you have to be a certain type of person to be a Christian. I wonder what that person is in your mind. Maybe it's someone you knew for years, and that's what you've got to be like to be a Christian. You've got to have had this start in life. Maybe you've got to look like this, dress like this, sound like this. It's all rubbish. It's just not true. Jesus welcomes everyone. You don't need to be a special person with special gifts and knowledge and understanding. You don't need to be smart, clever and popular. You don't need to be from a Christian background. You don't need to know how many books there are in the Bible. All you need to know is that you need help and Jesus is the one who can help. All you need to know is that you can't cope on your own, but Jesus promises that he will help and support you. All you need to know is that you're a sinner and Jesus is the Saviour. That's all you need. So don't let anything else put you off. You don't need to look like me. Isn't that good? You don't need to know what I might know. Jesus is saying, anyone, from the youngest to the oldest, come, receive this blessing from me. Jesus has got all authority. Jesus welcomes ordinary folk. Thirdly, Jesus is gentle and lowly. Take my yoke, be paired with me, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You know, there's this lovely song that recently came out, Jesus Strong and Kind. Do you know that song? That's Jesus. He's not a wimp, he's strong. He's got all authority, he's a king, but he's kind. He's the perfect friend. Because there may be someone here, and you've been hurt deeply, I mean deeply hurt, by other people. There's trauma, there's unhealthy relationships. Maybe you've even been bitten badly by another Christian community. I know, I get it. But Jesus is not like that. Some of his followers put him to shame the name. But Jesus is gentle and lowly. Perhaps the idea of submitting to someone is quite scary. Someone with all authority sounds quite frightening. But you see, Jesus uses his authority well. There's a lovely picture in the Old Testament of what good authority looks like. What Jesus' authority then looks like. I don't know if you've picked it up before. It's in 1 Samuel 23, or 2 Samuel 23, verses 1 to 4. The last words of David. And David says this, "When one rules justly over men, ruling in the fear of God, he dawns on them like the morning light, like the sun shining forth on a cloudless morning, like rain that makes grass to sprout from the earth." So just have this in your mind. Maybe you campers saw it this morning. You peek out from your tent and your sun's coming up and there's a little bit of dew and you see the grass start to sort of lift up and the flowers start to open up. Everything starts to come to life with the sun and the gentle rain. Just have that picture in your mind. And what God's word says is that's what good authority is like. It means that those under thrive. They flourish, they are encouraged, they grow. And Jesus says, come to me, I'm gentle and lowly. I use my authority for your good. I'm like that kind of greenhouse over the storm so that you can flourish without being beaten and battered. Think of that idea. That's what it's like to come under the rule of Jesus. It's to have the perfect environment where you can grow, where you can be the person that God made you to be. Isn't that a wonderful picture? And that's what Jesus is offering you. He says, don't submit to others who will beat you and bash you. Submit to me. I rule justly. And I'll make you one that will rule justly in my likeness. You too will become gentle and lowly the more you hang out with Jesus. So if you're cautious, if you're worried, if you're nervous, remember that Jesus is gentle and lowly. He won't remove your troubles, but he will protect you from the worst. John Newton, a Christian from years ago, said, "How unspeakably wonderful to know all our concerns are held in the hands that bled for us." Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus laid down his life for you. He is gentle and lowly. And if you struggle with that, ask for help. One of the pastors here. But I know what it's... I've met others who struggle with this idea because they've been beaten and bashed about in their past. Lastly, Jesus encourages us that his burden is comparatively light. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's something quite profound, quite hard to explain. But Jesus says, when you follow me, there will be a lightness in your step that you won't really be able to explain. Your circumstances won't change overnight, but there'll be a lightness. There'll be an ease because you have him with you, encouraging you and strengthening you. He doesn't promise to remove all the troubles, but he promises to supply your needs within them. You know, I began following Jesus 36 years ago. I was 19, undergraduate, searching for the meaning of life, answering the biggest questions I could imagine, grappling with philosophies and ontologies and quantums and entropies and metaphysical this. Oh, what's it all about? And then it dawned on me that the God who made everything must therefore rule everything and therefore must know everything. And that blew my brain away. That when I submit to him, I am in the safest place in the universe. God is sovereign and God is good and God is wise. So the things I can't figure, I can leave with him. And I can testify to all of you here that his yoke has been easier than anything else. That he has been my strength through all sorts of strange and sometimes quite scary episodes. Jesus provides all that you need when you need it. So I want to urge you, youngsters, older folks, have you come to Jesus? Come now. Come again. Come and receive the peace, the joy that is yours when the burdens of the world are lifted in the hands of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that this promise, this offer, is as valid today as it was when Jesus first spoke it. We thank you that you always come true with your promises. We thank you that whoever we are, whatever we've been through, whatever is rattling around in our minds just now, you are willing to receive us when we turn from our sins, cry out for your help, submit to your good, wise rule over us. Please do us good, bless us, encourage us, make us those who do good and bless others. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to have our final hymn, which has escaped my mind just now, but it will pop up on the screen. There we are. O great God of highest heaven, occupy my lowly heart. Stand as the music starts. Thank you.
Every man.
now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To the only God, our Saviour, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen.